today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Have you ever had people that you would say, this dude is going to put me in his crawl space? Have you ever come across an occasional odd person?
Yeah, absolutely. So what, I have a P.O. box. People always want to come.
That says it right there.
Yeah, okay. So I don't even like to ship out UPS packages with my phone number on it or anything. I've had people want to come to my house and think this is a store and they can just tour my house. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. Oh, can I meet you in the Best Buy? Can I meet you in the Best Buy parking lot to pick up my Freddy bus? No, you can't.
Do you think you could perhaps have a conversation with, first of all, would the time be available if you were to do bus of the three of us and deliver whenever at your convenience?
Two of us. I'm not that much of a narcissist that I want one of myself.
You're part of the trifecta, you hump. You're going to get one if we get one.
I love the fact that as soon as Mike started fishing about getting a bust made of himself, the first thing John said was, old age makeups are very popular.
No.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Fair warning for our audience. We may discuss it in depth later. I am going into a period of time where I am going to be probably riddled with angst.
Mm.
And you probably know why, but I will certainly address that later in the show if we get to it. But
okay.
It's just it's that time. Trying to avoid it, trying to walk away, trying not to look at every single text, every single email that I get. Trying not to wake up first thing with the news shows that I watch. I did it today. I spent less time with them today. I am trying to, when I see something that's heading down a road toward something that's going to make me nervous, I don't do it. I listened to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and that caused perhaps a little anxiety as well.
Why would you listen to Rush?
Well, it's very popular down here. Oh, you're latent, Rob. You're really latent for me. Give me a three count, will you, please?
One, two, three.
Good. We're checking everything.
Yes.
Let's do something where it's a total departure from the stresses of the day. For our listening audience, you always tell me you want me to do that. I'm going to do that for you today. As we, one day or two early, we bring you our talking head. We can put talking heads on whenever we want.
Whenever you want.
This is a special Halloween talking head.
Splash the pot whenever
Rob
we want.
Rob Spiewak is very excited about this. Very, very excited because we have a gentleman by the name of John Thomas, who is a monster maker.
Mm-hmm.
John is a 20-plus year listener who first found us on WYSP in Philadelphia. Kara, his wife of 14 years, is also a TMOS fan. Love it when the families listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's always wonderful. They have two cats, Vlad. What kind of cat would a monster maker have? But Vlad, Dracula, and Victor Frankenstein. And they live in Ohio near Kent State. Here's a fun fact. The first thing in their refrigerator was a TMOS fruitcake.
He sent me a picture of a refrigerator, and the only thing that was in it was one of our fruitcakes. It was great.
Good man.
When do you start baking those, Rob Spiewak?
Ingredients are on the way now.
I had a big talk yesterday about what's coming in and what's going out.
They cutting it a little close for you there,
bit. This is perfect timing. We don't want them to go out not fresh, Mike.
Remember I said that's my angst level. That's just because of my general anxiety.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
that's what it is.
We're hoping to get everything done before November 3rd.
He makes monster masks, life-size busts, and props for a living, like movie props. Very cool. Past clients include Oscar-winning director Guillermo del Toro, a heavy hitter right off the bat.
Damn!
John went to his house twice. Kirk Hammett of Metallica. Glenn Danzig, Jack White of the White Stripes, Adam Savage from MythBusters, all these fantastic people. He has also made props for The Walking Dead, Halloween cast parties and for the Playboy Mansion. His first job was making concrete statuary, but he owes a lot of his current career to his great uncle, the mortician. Ask about George, it says. Along the way, John ran an indie record label, manufactured his own line of toys, and worked in multimedia before going into full-time monstering. John's credits, he credits TMOS with keeping him sane as he cared for his mom in her final days. His favorite things on the show include celebrity outtakes and salad fingers. I haven't done that. Oh, I don't want him. Not now. His home has three floors covered in monster collectibles. He has monster tattoos, and his house is quite the trick-or-treat destination. His wedding reception was Haunted Mansion-themed. See his work at greenfacedracula.com. This is great. Let's get our talking head, John Thomas, on right now.
Is he standing by, Maddie?
He has not entered the meeting
yet.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to admit
John.
Him. I'm waiting to admit him.
Hey, Monster Man.
Maybe text him.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting him on as we speak, Mike.
We'll call him up.
There he is.
Hey, John.
Wow. Was that Slimer? Mike?
Hey, what the hell happened, John? We were giving you that great bio, and, you know, and where'd you go, buddy?
People started calling and texting me like they do to you during the show.
Oh, those. Look at
that
this
is cool.
Room.
That is so cool. Wow.
John, this is absolute. This is.
This is awesome.
This is
a video day, folks.
I would love to. Get into my car and drive to my kid's school and bring him back here and show him. Oh my God! Look
and what you got to know, Mike.
That.
This is just one room. He's got three floors of this at his house. He showed me some pictures yesterday. This guy is the real deal, and it's everywhere. Your wife must love you.
Wow. Yeah.
She's been with me 22 years, so she must.
You know. This is so special, and I have to tell you something that, you know, the Talking Head segment that we started a while ago is just so great for me to get a chance to find out what all these different listeners do, and Rob singled you out for a special Halloween appearance, which was perfect, and that's the Crypt Keeper to your right, isn't it, right there?
Yes, and this one is actually from the original molds used on the TV show.
This, how does one get into this line of work? Now, obviously, there are people that do this kind of like full time out in Hollywood. You've dabbled on and off. How did you? Is this your job making these?
This is my
creatures?
Job. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that is so cool.
This is something that started as a hobby where I would watch this stuff as a kid, and once started going to toy shows and when I was a teenager and picking up what I could afford at that age. And as I got older and eBay came around, this stuff started just showing up from effects houses on eBay. And I was like, really? I can buy a Critters puppet from the movie Critters off of eBay? You know, and now I have three of them. You know, so it's pretty amazing. Now I've got like real gremlins, and I've got ghoulies, and I've got Crypt Keepers and Freddy gloves.
So,
and it's like, I learned how to make it.
So are you as basic as would you be able to, if someone wanted a dead body for a TV show, you've got the skill set to do that kind of stuff, or is it primarily ghouls and monsters? I don't even know where to begin. Rob, you can jump in here because I'm so curious about all the different ways that you do this. Do you work in it? Is it primarily plastic, rubber, concrete? What's the format you work in?
I sculpt in clay on an armature, like you would just sculpt a head, and then you'd make a mold from that, and then castings from that in rubber, silicone, plastic, depending on what. So for example, up here, I'm still trying to do this on a Zoom with the Freddy glove, that demon in the middle.
I like the demon, Freddy glove.
Yeah, the demon here in the middle is the first mask I ever sculpted in 2005. So first sculpt. So it's
and
the
that
first
looks
mask
kind
I
of
ever
like
made.
The White Walkers from Game of Thrones a little bit. That's got a little vibe with that demon look.
Yeah, except for he fell into some condiments. He's got ketchup and mustard all over him. It's actually from a movie called Demons.
John, and, I think you should tell Mike about George, because I think George is a big turning point in your career.
Let me get this glove off and show, like, George can make a special appearance. Well, So this
we need the back. We need the backstory on George.
The backstory of George is when I was a kid, my grandmother's brother was a mortician, and Rob's clapping, and I did not know that. But once upon a time, I put my shoes in her coat closet, and there's this wooden box in there, and there's this metallic skull. And I'm like, what the heck is that? As a little kid, you know, seeing this silver skull looking at me. And finally, I asked Grandma, I said, Grandma, what is that thing? And she says, oh, that's George. And I said, what the heck's George? And then finally, she gave me the backstory on it, that it was a metal skull that her brother used to use to practice reconstructing faces in mortuary school.
Wow.
It's an antique. Wow. It's ancient. So my grandmother passed away from cancer when I was 8 years old. It was the first major death in my family. And of course, they're cleaning out her house and everything. And my mom's like, oh, you know, is there anything you want? And I was like, yeah, I want George. You know, being a monster fan my entire life, I was like, that was the one thing. I mean, it kind of scared the crap out of me. I thought it was kind of cool.
And I'm getting into the weeds here because you got so many of these figures. So cool. Can you put the clay over George's face?
Well, I'm about to show you, George.
This is cool. Okay. Look at George.
So I guess George's purpose, John, is if someone was hideously disfigured in an unfortunate accident and brought in to the mortuary, like in the beginning of The Godfather, he would use that to practice like rebuilding the face because that's a human skull, right?
So it comes with a bunch of different size noses. So if you got a big schnoz, it's got that. It's got a little one. It's got eyes.
So was this a mortician's tool specifically?
Yes, it's
an antique, and it came with the noses for people to like help the faces and
ears.
Oh wow! Oh
the my whole god! Thing.
It's got and ears.
It's kind of beat up because when we were kids, we just we didn't take care of it. I mean, we covered it in fake blood. We stuck eyeballs on it. We threw it in the woods. I mean, poor George has had a hell of a life with me. I mean, we put him in haunted houses. Like, so I cleaned him up as good as I can, but he's still covered in red. Fake blood and stuff from my childhood.
I've
been trying to find a year on it, and I can't even find a year on it.
Wow. But it's old. It's definitely old.
It's probably turn of the century. I mean, it's ancient.
Wow. That is so fascinating.
A million pounds.
Now you have worked on, you've made props for The Walking Dead. Tell me about that. The hottest television show on television. What do you make bodies primarily? Heads? What do you make for The Walking Dead?
I made stuff for like their Halloween cast party. So when they're making stuff for the TV show, Greg Nicotero, who's the lead, the producer of the TV show and does all the zombies for the television show, will reach out to me and say, I don't have time to make stuff for our cast Halloween party. I will buy props off of you. And so I did that for a few years, and I made stuff for his own collection. I will post stuff up for sale on Instagram, and he will DM me instantly and be like, I want that. Send it out to Georgia on set.
Here we go. This is the question. When you're interviewing somebody like John and you see that backdrop, you get a little overwhelmed. There's so much going on, but this popped into my head, and this is my favorite question, and it won't be a better question in this interview. I'm going to ask you this. Out of all the people you've sold stuff to, have you ever had people that you would say, this dude is going to put me in his crawl space? Have you ever come across, because I can't imagine you sell things to people and you wouldn't run across an occasional odd person.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a P.O. box. People always want to come.
That says it right there.
Yeah, okay. So I don't even like to ship out UPS packages with my phone number on it or anything. I've had people want to come to my house and think this is a store and they can just tour my house. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. Meet you in the Best Buy parking lot to pick up my Freddy bus? No, you can't.
You've avoided contact with the
famous people, you know. I mean, it's not the famous people. I mean, it was awesome, like that. When I sold stuff to Guillermo del Toro before he won the Oscar, like, you know, he was so down to earth and cool. He's like, oh, if you're ever out in LA, like, you know, come and see my collection in my mansion. And he was, and he, I was like, well, I'm going to be there in like a week. And he was like, okay, here's my address. And he answered the door and everything. And it was like very surreal.
Now, so with the stuff you sell him, how does he display it? What type of, does he have like a movie room? I would imagine it's something very neat to look at.
He has two mansions worth of stuff.
Wow.
It's of figurines and models,
like life
and
size, like my stuff on steroids, like life size. Like,
what did he buy from you? I'm curious. What where does his interest turn?
I made him a bunch of props from the movie The Thing, the John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, so yeah.
The spider head from The Thing. I made him one of the Creature from the Black Lagoons from the original mold.
There it is.
Do you have two black lagoons
in back here? There.
Yes, I do. This is the, I was telling Rob yesterday. This one here is from the movie mold for the underwater scene. See, the eyes are cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one's the land creature movie mold for the actor who did the land scenes, because he's bigger. So you can see, Oscar, the size difference.
Let me interject for a second. Oscar, you got to tell people they got to check the YouTube video now.
Yeah, so you can look, if you're on Facebook for the Mike O'Mara Show, or you're on YouTube, you can see all of this. If you don't mind, I don't want to get away from Guillermo del Toro. What I want to do is ask you about the origins of the molds, because a guy like Guillermo del Toro is prolific. He's prolific for his filmmaking, but also the authenticity of, he doesn't really use CGI, Mike. So this is like an old school, authentic, respectful movie maker, especially when it comes to this type of costume, quote unquote costumes or artistry. The idea that you have the original mold makes it infinitely more valuable to create something from that, and you have the skill set to do that. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. But am I right to understand that the original mold is the key and your artistry to get somebody like Guillermo del Toro to want some of your creations?
Absolutely. Everybody, I mean, what's going to be better than, so the problem with buying screen used movie props is they're made like crap. They're meant to be used on screen for a few minutes, and then they fall apart and rot, and you have to pay somebody to restore them. Having a mold is awesome, because then you can make copies of it forever. So you can make it out of better materials down the line. For example, I was talking to Rob yesterday. I have a mold for the original Exorcist bust, which I'm going to show you now.
Oh, no.
This is so much fun. This is so much fun.
So here's a blank one, and then I'm going to show you the finished one as well.
Yeah.
This is the original puppet head from Reagan and the Exorcist.
This is fantastic. Exorcist music, Rob.
When you see her head spin around in the movie,
yes,
this is the actual puppet head. You see it twice in the movie, where she's sitting in the bed after she does something inappropriate with the cross.
Oh, God.
She spins completely around. Oh, my God.
And then at the very end, where they're doing the actual exorcism and she breathes the fog out and everything. So this is from that mold. So now I've made dozens of these things, because, you know, it's plastic and it'll keep forever.
Mm-hmm. There's a market for that, right? I mean, that's
absolutely. I've been selling them for forever, trying to keep this thing alive, you know, because
it's like having a secret recipe.
Yes. You ready to see the finished one?
Yes.
Oh, this is so cool.
Before and after.
So there's the mold. If Pony needs a girlfriend on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Pony Boy.
Ooh, la la. Yeah. Get that up close to the camera there. That's fantastic. There we are. Oh, there we are. Look at that. This is the best Halloween show ever. Look at this. That is so fantastic.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, my God. Tiny. Wow. Wow.
He is an
so
adult.
You not only have to be John, we're talking to John Thomas Monster Maker and TMOS Talking Head today. John, you not only have to be a sculptor, you have to know the ways of makeup. You know how you have to know theatrical makeup. Are you self-taught primarily? Have you taken courses
self-taught.
In this?
I'm self-taught for painting, and I was born with an artistic ability because most of the stuff was self-taught. I actually went to school for multimedia, what you guys do. And then when the market croaked in 2008, I was doing this as a hobby, and then kind of turned this into a full-time job. And haven't turned back ever since.
Can I ask you a question about the molds? Because when you think of classic monster makeup, I think the most definitive example would be Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein. And that was not a mold. That was all cotton and glue, and they built the face every day. So Jack Pierce at Universal. So if you were to build like a Frankenstein bust, you don't have a mold or a basis to go off of. How do you proceed with something like that? Do you just look at thousands of pictures, or what do you do?
Yes. So tons of reference photos of Boris Karloff, the actor's face. And then you almost have to reconstruct like you were building the makeup on top of his face. For example...
Oh my God.
Hey, did you guys prepare this?
Wow.
Did you prepare this? Rod Spiewak, don't try to lie to our listening audience. You pretended that.
Mike,
you're such a shyster hack.
It's a pre-interview. It's a pre-interview.
Say, well, I want to mention it. I'm sorry. The pre-interview is based on deceit. So you talked to him already about this. He's going to show us the model, and then he's going to show the finished product of Boris Karloff. Yeah,
but that's amazing. That is so, the fact that you actually start with Karloff's face and you work from it, and the result is unreal. So you've got to be that's so rewarding for you.
Mike,
Oscar's question. Ahead.
Yes, I like holding up my hand for those of you watching the video. I don't want to talk all over everybody. Boris, fine. I'm excited about Slimer to your left and our right.
Mm-hmm. That's the Ghostbusters Slimer right there, yeah.
How long does it take to create something of that size?
I bought Slimer, but I painted him.
So okay.
He actually came from Florida from somebody who works at Universal Studios. So the person who made him, because of his size, had to have a rotocasting machine to actually make that thing. Because I'm going to tilt the camera a little bit for you, Oscar.
Thank you.
A rotocasting machine.
Oh, yeah. My Slimer. God.
Wow.
He's got metal pipes. He's got metal pipes in his keister to keep him up.
Wow. and for these creations.
He's about 3 feet tall.
He's got metal pipes in his keister. I haven't heard keister since the 1920s. That's awesome. That's truly spectacular. Hey, John, what a fascinating job you have. But let's talk about me. How did you start listening to the show?
I moved out to Philadelphia to finish art school from Pittsburgh in 2000. And you guys were on, Don and Mike were on YSP. Back then, and I was working for a data entry company while I was going to school for multimedia, and they had you on in the office after Howard Stern every day, and that's how we started listening to you. And I preferred listening to you guys over freaking Howard Stern every day, and got hooked instantly, me and my coworker. So that was the one thing that got me through my terrible data entry job every day, and I followed your career ever since, through all the good and the bad.
Just imagine if like a few million people had felt the same way. Anyway, it would have been
Mike, you get to do what you love on
your
terms.
I know. I was saying that as early as this morning. I was saying to my wife, I still love what I do. I love coming in here. Mm-hmm. And when Rob gets a talking head on like this, this is exciting for me. I love this. So this is really just an amazing way to make a living. Now, you're married, and I have to ask the question. Do you have any children that live in that house of horrors?
I do not, but I'm about to become an uncle for the first time next month, so I'm pretty excited about ruining that kid's life.
You say you don't bring, obviously, customers out to your home, but I'm sure when you bring friends to, what's it like to bring a buddy over or a couple in the neighborhood or people that haven't been to your house and the reaction that you get when you have three floors of this stuff? It must be a blast. That must be one of the fun parts.
Yeah, it can be a bit chaotic. You remember what happened with Rob with the Chubbix in his house?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Imagine about 10 to 15 drunk people in this house.
Oh, and
people
there you
trying,
go.
Trying things on and
touching your things.
Filling things and knocking things over, and it can be a big cleanup effort the next day. We share a yard with a neighbor. We kind of like in the summertime, people kind of go in and out, and that can be a little dangerous too. So
yeah, the fly comes walking out on your deck and stuff like that.
It can be crazy.
Just briefly, before you go, what's your Instagram handle? Just so people can follow you if they're looking just to look at your work and are more curious.
My website is greenfacedracula.com.
Okay.
And that's and you can find me on Instagram there or Andraculoid, which is
go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Greenfaced Dracula came from when I was a kid. For whatever reason, they always put Dracula in green face, on the Halloween masks, on the costumes, on the model kits. And even as a little kid, I was like, what the hell is that all about? Like, they were just, they just couldn't come out with a color. So it's something that's bothered me in my entire life. I was like, what is that all about? So that's why I decided to go with that, because it's always bothered me.
Me too, John. Always killed me. What I was going to say, I'll tell you a quick story, because this happened yesterday. Yesterday, I beat feet down to Naples, about 25 minutes down the road here, Naples, Florida, to go to the, I think it's called Spirit of Halloween, one of those packed little Halloween stores. Sorry about that. Well, I didn't have any choice. I didn't know. There is a good costume store up the road that Carla knows that I didn't know about. I'm just a dad trying to make my kid happy, because what he wanted.
Everybody goes there.
What he wanted, John, was he wants to be Jason for Halloween. And so he wanted the
Jason
mask.
Voorhees?
And I went down to, I got him a Jason Voorhees mask, which was adult size, because they didn't have a little kid's one.
Right.
Because I'm sure there are good parents around. So I got him, and it's a pretty like movie prop quality, made out of, I guess, a heavy duty plaster, you know, plastic, heavy duty plastic.
Rubber, yeah.
And got him that, and it's sitting on his. And then as we get towards nighttime, so all I got him was the plastic machete and the Jason mask. And as we get closer to bedtime, it starts out in his bedroom. Then he comes into our bedroom again. We move it out into the living room. And then finally, I show him where I'm going to keep the mask and the machete under the covers next to me in the bed for him to go to sleep. And he still says he wants to wear it, but he wants me to keep it in our bedroom until Halloween when he gets together with his buddies.
Scary.
So, you know, it's, I don't
know.
Do
you confuse it with the real machete that you keep under the blanket, or
yes, the real one. The real one is very safely on the right side. We're fine. Do you have any Jason paraphernalia there in your house?
I do. It's downstairs. We have multiple life size.
Mike, I'm on his website as we speak, and there's a pinhead from Hellraiser.
Oh yeah.
I guess the statue. You call it a statue? You don't call it a figurine. What's
That's
the proper term?
It's a bust. From like the waist up.
Yeah. Scary.
And are you a John? Scary. Are you a we're talking to our talking head John Thomas. Are you a obviously a monster movie connoisseur?
Absolutely. I have thousands of DVDs, and I've seen pretty much everything good and bad.
And your all-time favorite of all time, what is your favorite monster movie?
My wife asks me that all the time, and I never have an answer for it. She tries to figure it out. But I'm a big fan of like The Thing. I like the special effects and the John Carpenter The Thing.
What's the hardest
you
part
like
about
The Fly?
Oh, The Fly is
I
amazing.
Love The Fly. Yeah.
Which one?
Because you got The Fly. Yeah, I see The Fly. Well, there are two flies. I see
there's
the
two
big
flies,
fly
and I
up
and
there.
Downstairs I have a Brundle fly as well.
Oh, go on.
That's all the flies.
And what is the giant bust center above your head at the top there? What is that creature?
The golem. That's from a silent film that was like pre-Frankenstein era.
Really? Is that valuable?
Probably.
I don't want to freak you out. As far as monsters are concerned, the Wolfman seems to be prominently featured within your collection.
Got a lot of Wolfmans.
Well, are those big sellers is what I'm asking, because it seems like you're making a lot of different versions.
Yeah, I hate the Wolfman because he has a lot of hair, so that takes like forever, and I'm allergic to like half the stuff I work with, so I'm always...
I clap for the Wolfman, John. I clap for the Wolfman.
He's going to rate your record high.
Well, you know, that animal, you want a popsicle? You want a popsicle?
John should do a bust of Wolfman Jack just to break up the monotony on your website.
It would be a little less hair, just some chops, right?
Right, one last question for you, John. Can you do busts of real people or caricatures in sculpting of other people, he said, fishing?
Yes, I can. And actually, doing human faces are what impress most special effects people more than anything. Like, if you can do an old age makeup, if you can do just a Bela Lugosi, if you can do the stuff that, like you see in Madame Tussauds, like that's what people want, because that's harder. I think it's easier to do monster stuff.
All right, then, Lynn, hear me out, Oscar.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask John if at cost, do you think you could perhaps have a conversation with, first of all, would the time be available if you were to do Bus of the three of us and deliver whenever at your convenience.
Of two of us. I'm not that much of a narcissist that I want one of myself.
Well, no, well, you're part of the trifecta, you hump. You're going to get one if we get one.
I love the fact that as soon as Mike started fishing about getting a bust made of himself, the first thing John said was, old age makeups are very popular.
No.
And by the way, it's himself, not Farmer John. It's not his self. It's okay, not no. his self. So you go back to that like carny speak that you used to have there. He hasn't even said yes. Would that be something that you would be able to do?
Yes, I would be able to do that. Or we could even do caricature versions.
Yeah, like Charlie.
Charlie.
No, I don't want to do that. Not Charlie, for Christ's sake. I don't want to do that. What would you guys like, caricature bus or like a legitimate? Which do you think would be funnier? I think funnier.
Or you
to
could
have
do
the
little
real
like. What if we did like little figurines of you for like Christmas gifts to go in with the fruitcakes next year?
That's ooh, next year. I like that.
Oh, like bobbleheads.
Like that. God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This could be real.
We can mass produce little plastic figurines of you guys.
I love it. Like and
you know what? We will talk about that. That is
we could be the three wise
incredible.
Men people can put in their nativity scene.
Then yeah, yes, no, we can actually do that. They have those figures in Spain, the little Cogner guys you put in the nativity scene.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a business deal being consummated. This is phenomenal. This is a great talkie. Yes, Rob, what were you going to say?
I was going to say three wise men could be us, and then Pony in the cradle, right in the manger.
Yes, I get to be Jesus.
Maybe not.
How dare you?
Anyway, that's Jesus. It. Thank you. John, really, good luck with everything. What a fantastic interview. And really, the best to you and your lovely wife. And thank you for supporting TMOS. And, just before we let you go, is there a way that you could perhaps hold up the Exorcist head one more time? You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And, all right. And I'll do the voice as we kick it to commercial here. Really, really close to the camera, if you can. There you go.
It's wonderful.
And remove these straps. What a delightful day to start the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hello, Reagan. I'm a friend of your mother's. I'd like to help you.
You want to loosen the straps?
Oh, sounds familiar.
I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Reagan.
I'm not Reagan.
Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karras.
Me, Robbie Lee Dick, too, don't you agree?
You speak Latin.
Ego te absolvo.
Quod nomen mihi est.
La plume de matin.
How long are you planning to stay in Reagan?
Until she rots and lies stinking in the earth. What's that?
Holy water.
You keep it away.
Oh, it burns!
In the face of the enemy.
Stick your up her ass, you motherfucking worthless sucker.
Be silent.
Look, you have no power over
me. I'm the son of a liquid to be powerless to harm her. Your mother sucks in hell, Kara.
My faithless
slime.
Come on, please. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Grant me, your unworthy servant, pardon for all my sins, and power to confront this cruel demon.
Oh, God.
It's the Mike
What is the
O'Mara
matter with
show.
Us?
Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
That is just so twisted. Chop it off next time for right after the your mother does that. That's a good place to end it. I think it's just a little too intense.
It's Halloween, Mike. It's spooky season. And
of people listening for the first time, they interviewed a monster maker, and then they played this tape where I think it was The Exorcist.
Can you imagine,
like, laughing?
Maybe John's sister, who is with child right now, says, "Oh, you're going to be on the podcast? I'll tune in for that." What is this
Something to behold. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from the Podcast Village Studios in Washington, D.C. That is the District of Columbia.
Yes.
We love to be with you, and it's great to see all of you today on the Mike O'Mara Show from Two Rivers, Wisconsin, Horsey, Virginia, between Georgia, Collingswood, New Jersey, and Depot Bay, Oregon, along with Lisbon, Portugal. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And we have big news. We told you this about MyBookie. Winning season is back. At MyBookie, winning season means the NFL is in full swing, and it's your chance to win big. Let me tell you how. There's no sweeter feeling than watching your team come back in the fourth to win the game and put cash in your pocket. Whether you're a first-time player, a veteran to the game, taking underdogs, you're siding with the favorites, the fact is there's no better time to get in on the action. Join now using our promo code TMOS, and you can grab a free $20 wager with your first deposit to bet on anything in the sportsbook. That's right. That is a free wager.
Money.
Who would turn down a free $20 bet? And it makes the games more fun.
Mm-hmm.
MyBookie is giving you the chance to make your first ever winning bet, and it's on the house. This is so much fun. Nothing beats NFL action, and absolutely nothing beats free money. So join now and take advantage. Don't even think about it. Just head on over to MyBookie now. Go to our website. Click on MyBookie. It'll take you right there. That's winning season, baby!
Baby!
And right now, exclusively at MyBookie, get in on the action. And we thank you. It continues the winning streak on TMOS Talking Heads. It just is amazing to think. And by the way, broadcasters from all over, people that do what we do, I would guarantee you that a tremendous amount of them, people that do radio, that talk to listeners every day, even do talk radio, never get as much of a sense as to how diverse and how wonderful and how creative,
so
and
talented,
and how special everybody is. That is almost a primer for me to track with, hey, take this seriously, give it your best, do your best job, because every day there's so many wonderful human beings that are listening to what we do, and we get to talk to them. This idea was a throwaway. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I thought it'd be fun to try. Never thought it would explode like this. It's so much fun talking to people. It really is.
John just texted me to thank us for having him on, and he apologized. He said the second you started reading his intro, his phone and computer blew up with people that were like calling to congratulate him for something that hadn't happened yet. So that's why it was hard for him to log in. But he said this would be a great Halloween talking head, and I said, well, okay, I suppose, but I didn't realize the scope of what he did. And when he started showing me all the rooms in his house, it was mind-blowing that these people are out there doing this stuff.
I think it was so much fun, and you know what a great backdrop. I love backdrops. I think a lot of people have become addicted watching television when they do live news sheets shots where you see the backdrop and you see, you know, and especially if, like, you consume news like I do. Constantly having these backdrops, and you'll say things like, that's not his normal backdrop. I wonder if he was at someone's home last night.
What room in his
home is
this?
And the hair looks a little disheveled. Well, that's great. Was he at his boyfriend's house last night? Anyway, or girlfriend. Doesn't matter. I just thought what I said first time I saw it. I want to talk to you about nitpicking on online, because I would not be who I am if I did not enjoy a good pick of nit. Truly do. So a small, tiny thread, not really offensive, by a dude who was complaining about me yesterday on the show when I spotlighted the fact that there was vacuuming going on in back of me. And his point was that no one in the audience can hear it, which I know is true, and that you know, he doesn't like it when I stop the show. And then people said, well, we like it when Mike complains, or we don't like it. I really think it's really important to point out, I am not really professional enough to plan something like that or to have a methodology behind it. It's simply in the heat of battle, when these microphones are open, I think all the guys on the show would agree that the rules change. Once we are rolling, the rules change. If something happens and it's on the fly,
somebody calls.
If there's catastrophic connectivity problems, we will shut down and start again. But by and large, we'll try to react. If somebody's slow on the take, if there's a connection problem, we react to it. So what I did yesterday was a pure reaction to the sound I was hearing, and then actually had a discussion with my wife about it, because now that Carla is has joined the workforce, I heard her make the call today. Thank you very much. Glad to have her back doing it. And by the way, the ratings show she's doing a super job.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Brown. I'm Irv Harrigan back. That's such a dated reference there. But this guy was complaining about that, and I want to say that I get it. And so when I get that, I am torn, because I see the thread and I really want to respond with understand, got it, that type of thing. But I can't do that. And that's the angel on my shoulder that wants to say, great critique, got it, understood. Then the devil of my shoulder, and there's one particular sentence I want to use. The devil on my shoulder wants me to write back, thank you, John. Licked my Irish bag. And then what I end up doing,
I'm Charlie Brown,
is nothing. I just want to go, oh, lick it.
In your defense, you cannot change your spots. I mean, and you have a deep rooted heritage in live radio. And on live radio, you dealt with things as they happen, especially when you were on for 4 hours a day. Curveball would come after curveball after curveball after curveball, and you're trained, and one of your greatest talents is to be able to react and deal with stuff on the fly live. Podcasts are by definition recorded, but we handle it 99% of the time as a live broadcast, and I'll that's how we were all example. Brought up. Yeah,
A few weeks ago, our wonderful, incredible, supportive listener, Jolene, out in Las Vegas, took issue with me talking about, in fact, a few people did, discussing Carla's business.
Yeah.
And it was during, as you may have remembered, a rather emotionally charged time for me, where I was a little bit uptight about interpersonal activities with other people. And I may have referred to her business as those little facials that she, and it was diminishing. I don't like, anytime somebody says, oh, you're doing that little show you do. It's an F you with that. And so Jolene called me out on it. And so what I wanted to do on that thread was say, Jolene, you're absolutely right. I never should have, said anything about that. Thank you so much for pointing that out to me, that's diminishing and I should be supportive. Now, the devil is on my shoulder also. And the devil wants me to go, nobody has supported her more than I have. I paid for her education.
Yeah.
Why don't you go suck on one of those lint torts that you sell, or whatever those candy
chocolates
that you have. So what I end up doing is kind of just letting it happen.
But
when you see me engage in a thread, I'm really, really, really either cowed, embarrassed, guilt-ridden, or I'm pissed off, and I will say, lick it right away. And by the way, the people that have a legitimate gripe and are big supporters of the show, like the guy that didn't like me talking about the vacuum cleaner and Jolene, they're very, that's the dilemma. Yeah. The people that are the naked trolls, I know right away who you are, and I don't mind, saying it, right there.
To the allies, do you engage, or do you just have this inner conflict?
I have the inner conflict, and it helps me get through it. Because the devil, much like our society, the negative angels that are out there, the better angels, I want to talk about better angels, are always doing battle with the devil on their shoulder, where you just want to go, oh, it must be nice. Da, da, da. And really, like, when you're talking about my spouse and her business, but she had a point that she was, in fact, there was a lot of issues with that where we're trying to be funny and it's not all that funny to some people. And I get it. I understand.
No, it's funny sometimes.
It's very funny.
It is funny sometimes. It is funny. You right now. I'm looking at you. I see that Bolivian face of yours. Be careful. This is this is dangerous territory. Do not get me in trouble.
You know what? I think this is actually a callback to our opening segment. How about a bust of Mike? And on one shoulder is me with a halo because I'm the angel. And on the other shoulder is Oscar with devil horns because he's the devil. And that's sort of the representation of the show.
Yeah, so I guess the long and short of it, gentlemen, is keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming.
I love all the different feedback. You know, if you're not talking about us, you're not talking about us, and we don't want that to happen. And that's all there is. When we come back, I just will get one last thing off my chest.
All right.
For those of you that have followed me for a long time, you will know that there are many passions I have, and I'm here to tell you that one of them has gone. Adios. Ooh. Bye-bye.
What?
Yeah, and you'll have to earn me back. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Thank you, John Thomas. First you say
no, you got to imagine a cocktail party, but not just any cocktail party. One that stretches from coast to coast.
Okay.
It's a TMOS cocktail party. This Friday at 7 on the east and 4 on the left. And all you have to do is kick back, relax, and enjoy your favorite libation. You could have an old-fashioned with Oscar, a daiquiri with Doug, mint juleps with Jolene, or a Mai Tai with that guy. How about rum with Ronique, scotch with Steve and Janet, or a lemonade with Linda? No, this isn't a place to nosh on fabulous fruit fritters. It's a way for you to wind down for the week and get your drink on. So come for the fun this Friday live on Facebook or at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Everybody gonna get it, get it, get it.
Love is kind of welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, and this portion of our program brought to you by Bright Cellars. Do you ever get intimidated looking at a pretentious wine list?
Of course.
Or the endless bottles of wine at the grocery store? Too many. Yes, I do. I do. I really do. If you're like me, you just want a bottle of wine that you like. It should be easy. And thanks to Bright Cellars, it is. Bright Cellars, let me tell you about this wonderful new company. By the way, we've sampled many different bottles of Bright Cellars wine. They're all fantastic. Bright Cellars is the wine subscription service that helps you find wines you love without the intimidation. Really, when I go to a restaurant and I see a wine list and they bring it over, it's like, oh, would you like to look at the BS list? That's what I consider it. Whether you're a new wine drinker or someone who's been drinking wine for years, Bright Cellars will pair you with unique wines based on your taste profile and your schedule. What do you got in your hand there, Rob?
Every bottle of wine comes with like a wine baseball card. And I took the survey on the site and they sent me six bottles that they thought I'd like, and they've been dead on. This wine that I had is called the Happy Medium. And that's the logo.
I
thought it was a very pretty lady. And the notes are plum, raspberry, blackberry, and black pepper. It has a nice little, almost like a back peppery taste. And I loved it. It's a petite Syrah. And when you answer that survey, they send you wines based on profiles that you enjoy tasting. It's fantastic.
A petite Syrah for our pizza, petite Syrah. Anyway, they use a... Rob was mentioning the 7-question quiz. They match you with personalized wines and curate your exclusive experience. Each box comes with wine education cards that Rob just showed you. They provide info, tasting notes, food pairings, temperatures, much more. For our listeners only, you can get 50% off your first 6-bottle order from Bright Cellars. That is motivation to try it, people.
Yes.
50% off. Just go to brightcellars.com/TMOS. That's brightcellars, CELLARS.com/TMOS. Take their 7-question quiz to get your wine matches and receive 50% off your first 6-bottle order from Bright Cellars. Cheers, everyone. Cheers.
Cheers.
We will
cheers.
Have it in news you may not need today, the final of the World Series with the congratulations going out to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And not to be petty. Not to be small-minded, not to refrain from celebrating the joy of another fan base, but I'm here to tell you, Red Sox, pound sand. You will have to earn me back.
Yeah, they
you
gave
will
away
have to
Mookie
earn
Betts.
Me back. This is not in the modern age of sports and sports management and sports ownership. You don't make an F-up like the Red Sox did, sending arguably their best player in 20 years, and you say, well, what about David Ortiz? Yeah, David Ortiz is great. Mookie Betts, a better all-round player. And you just kiss him goodbye and send Mookie Betts to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bingo! Championship Dodgers. And I wrote this down on my show prep. I said it right here. I said, the Red Sox will need to earn me back. Because baseball at your spring training. Let me tell you where it started, Red Sox, all right? I was the best in-house announcer that you could have ever auditioned.
Right.
And you let me get beat out by a local dude who sucks.
Some hack.
All right? He sucks compared to me. He sucks. He sucks. He's a disaster. He's not good. He's not strong. He's not. So it started there. I don't make a big deal about it. And really, in retrospect, I wouldn't still be doing it. I would have gotten bored and realized they don't pay enough. And I would have left. But I was down to, it was down to two guys where you would come to Fort Myers, Florida. You would go to JetBlue Park. And I would say, now, leading off for the Boston Red Sox, Mookie Betts. And you didn't do it. You said to me, well, you're not a full-time writer. I said, but I'm moving down here. Well, it really is. Well, you know what? You blew it again, and you got your guy. You got your guy that sounds like this, like every sports guy that's figured. You know what this is? This is the real deal, Red Sox. And then, if you remember, it didn't matter, because at that particular point, I was still a Red Sox season ticket holder for spring training. I was still in the game, in this, all the games. And then, okay, so let me tell you what else he did. So they started getting bored. And around about the same time they got back. And I'm talking about where they used to bring in the starters for every Yankee Red Sox spring training. They bring in all the A-lists. They don't do that. They don't do dick for the fans. And that's a bunch of old farts sitting at spring training with a few drunk college kids and a guy that's never going to make it out of double A. And they're doing that. So that's a continue. Then you want to know the other part that happened?
Please.
Well,
yes.
I finally was on a waiting list. Then I moved up to a better seat. And my son got baseballs because we were sitting right behind the dugout and they got baseballs thrown to him, and then they put up nets because people are too fucking stupid to not look at the game and they get hit in the head. So what do you have? You have nets. It's like, why don't you just put, hey, baseball, why don't you just put us in a big butterfly net watching the game? Because you got nets from the left field line all the way down, a net. I don't like that. I'm going to get an aneurysm if I keep going here. I used to not want to sit behind home plate because I don't like sitting in the back of a net. And then you ran the net all the way down so people don't get hurt. So people that can't. If you're going to go to a bet, put it on the back of the ticket and pay attention to the game. And if you're a parent, you know, bring a glove if you're worried about your toddler getting hit in the head. I am sorry, but I'm sick of this pussification of Major League Baseball. So that's what they did. And then
if you were the announcer, Mike, you could have made an announcement to warn the people about the foul balls.
Put down your phones.
Ad-libbed it. I would have ad-libbed it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Red Sox would like to remind you, if you are so attention deficit that you are not going to focus on the game, this is a time to put down those screens. How about a ban on the screens? How about you leave it in your car? How about you're not allowed to bring it into the ballpark? How about you pay attention to the game? So it was the screen, it was the net, it was the players not playing, it was not bringing people to spring training, and then the Red Sox getting rid of Mookie Betts. Bye-bye, pound sand. Love my NFL. That's what I'm watching right now. Sorry, it took a long time. I used to argue with Don about baseball when they had the first strike and Don decided to bail on baseball.
Right.
He was ahead of the curve. He was ahead of the curve. And now I'm saying, earn me back. Do something spectacular or special. Like make it to the playoffs.
Something.
Anyway, that's it.
Everybody loves a winner. Did you watch the entire game, or was it something that you could share with?
Didn't watch the highlights.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry, didn't watch the game. That's how much of a fan I am. But we'll have a recap in the news.
One of my favorite memories, just briefly, from being a little kid and alone, because my parents didn't hang out with me or my brother and sister.
Yeah, latchkey child.
Yes. I would turn on the television, and I got into baseball honestly because there were such long games, and it felt like I wasn't alone while I watched the Orioles play. And
were any of your relatives in the league?
No. Fernando Venezuela had retired by then.
Okay, I was just checking. I had his card.
They're not a lot of Bolivian baseball players, Rob. You can't like lop the whole area, you know, all of South America.
I follow the BLB, the Bolivian Baseball League.
They're always on strike. My fondest memory is sitting in front of that Sony Trinitron that my dad wasn't cheap for. And in the basement, just maybe a 32-inch, which was massive when we were kids. But
good set.
And watching it and then seeing Kirk Gibson hit that Grand Slam home run.
Oh, yeah, for the Dodgers.
And I remember looking around, like screaming, like, oh, my God, like this is
limping.
Crazy.
And
the wonder of that moment and wanting to share with someone. That's why I think baseball, while it's got to change and speed up, especially for this generation. Sharing that with your kid or a loved one is something that you always those moments you always remember. Right?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to raise my kid a Rays fan. That's it. And people right now are going, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you, Mr. President? All right, we got to take a break. We will come back with more fun and more thrills. Rob leaves the county.
I did.
Coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Shall we play a game?
Attendance. Accuracy. Anger. It's all on the line, and the stakes have never been higher. Tardy, typo, temper, challenge.
The tardy, typo, temper challenge.
You can only hear it on the Mike O'Mara Show.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Let's get it on!
So far, nobody has put any money in the Matty Pony jar yet.
Nothing.
Which is, pretty amazing.
There was a close call with Rob earlier in the week. Close call.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Yeah. With the typo, we gave him a free pass.
It was transposed letters that we caught in advance. We caught them in advance, and therefore it was a DQ.
If there might be a, we might have to reevaluate if there's a second offense. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. Remember, quality sleep is more important than ever as we head into winter. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. You spend one-third of your life in bed, so shouldn't you be a Sleep Number? Shouldn't it be a Sleep Number bed? Fall daylight saving time is the best time for quality sleep. You get a free extra hour of sleep, so why not make it the best sleep possible? So stick to a schedule. Shut off your screens. I did it last night. Makes you feel so much better. And treat yourself to the best bed in the world. Sleep Number. I can't tell you how quickly I get to sleep. Every night. When I'm ready. If I shut those screens off and I turn the lights out. My wife does it every night. If I follow suit, I get a great night's sleep with Sleep Number.
You give yourself like 30 minutes. It's all you need to do. Just 30 minutes where you decompressed, and it makes all the difference in the world. It really does.
A great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number setting is a 90. Check that. An 85.
Oh, okay.
Carla's, I believe, is still a 65. It's just the best. Discover the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed for proven quality sleep. During the Veterans Day sale, save $1,000 on a special edition smart bed, now $1,799. Plus, exclusive offers for military members for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. My buddy Mark just got one. Way to go. Another radio guy down here. Way to go, Mark. Mark, thank you very much. Miller and Moulton, that's the name of the show if you're ever down in Southwest Florida. You want to listen to the radio down here. Great sports show. Just make sure they know that Mike O'Mara sent you. And now it's on to Rob Spiewak. Congratulations for on our break recently. You got out of the house, you left the county, and you ventured down to your vacation house that happens to have a part-time resident, your father.
Well, my dad has been there since the pandemic broke, and I told Robert on the ride down, I said, this is the most I've driven since March. I mean, total. It's a 200-mile drive or whatever, and it was really, really cool because the kids are still virtually learning. So Robert, with his laptop, after he finished classes, I guess on Tuesday, we drove down to see my dad, who I hadn't seen since Christmas. And it was we got great weather. We got really great weather. Julie, and this is another thing. You really realize how old your kids are and how things have changed. When Carrie, of course, had to stay home because she's doing 2 days in at Loudoun County now, so she couldn't get away. But
how
the kids
is she
could.
Finding that, by the way? I mean, we're going to have her on the cocktail party Friday night, but how is she doing with that? Is she doing okay with that?
It's challenging. It really is, because the reason that this has started, and they're going to start phasing in, I believe, next week, Loudoun County is going to start phasing in the kindergarten, first, and second graders for the teachers or for the parents that had the option of in-person learning. But they accelerated Carrie's return because of the special education kids. They need that routine, and it's tough on the kids, but they were just getting used to staying at home and doing the virtual, and now they're back in the policy
because they're going to blow it all up again. You know,
And that now they've got to get used to the busing and the checking, and it's just it's tough. It's a tough transition for everybody, and it's a weird ratio of teacher to kids depending on the day. She'll tell you all about it. It's not easy. It's tough on everyone. But the thing that was so wild is Julia had to work on Tuesday, and she said, "Well, don't worry, Dad. I'll just drive down on Wednesday." And that was like a sock full of butter to my head. Bam! Because it's like, oh my God, those little kids that I've been driving back and forth to the Eastern Shore their whole life. Now she's hold just going to hop in her
car. You used an expression there that I don't understand. A sock full of butter?
That's from iCarly, that one of her friends would, one of her weapons was a sock full of butter that she'd hit people with.
But hard it was just butter or soft butter?
Well, it starts hard, but as it comes to room temperature, it softens.
Then it soaks the sock, right?
Yeah, because I would think so.
A sock full of quarters would be painful, but butter, yeah,
but it's not so mean. Much. But it was
soap, like Private Pile in Full Metal Jacket. Yeah,
tough.
That's
tough.
All right, go ahead.
And so it actually it cleans the sock. That's the good thing. The harder you hit the guy, the sock gets cleaner.
So, yeah, like suds up.
So we all we convened down there. It was great for my dad. He turned to me at one moment and he said, "It's so great to have someone down here to watch an old movie with."
Because that's sweet. That's you and your dad love to do that. That's
and
great.
So we took in a lot. We cleaned out his DVR, watched a lot of stuff. I got to watch the debate with my dad. However, and what was just so great is when Julia finally got down there, we drove to Chincoteague, which is a beach on the Eastern Shore, saw the horses in the wild. It was a gorgeous day, like 80 degrees and
sunny.
For
those of you around the country that don't know Chincoteague, it's got it's a wonderful, wonderful natural area of the mid-Atlantic coastline where they have wild horses. Wild horses.
They film Black Stallion there.
That's right. And
all you need to know about Chincoteague and the wild horses was just given to you on this show. There you go.
But it was just, for October, it was an outlying day, like 80 degrees, people on the beach, but everyone like 100 feet away from each other. And to put your feet in the Atlantic, that's after being at home for 8 months, it was fantastic.
Were you wearing a bathing suit?
No, I was wearing, of course, hard shoes and
cargo
a jumper.
Shorts. Cargo shorts, hard shoes.
And, exactly. I left my... I barefooted on the beach, Mike. I had no intention of swimming. The water was very cold, but it was nice. But it was nice to get to... Okay.
How did you handle... I'm curious because... But you can talk about this tomorrow, Mike, but I finally got my at-home COVID testing kit.
Uh-huh.
I test myself every week because...
I didn't even know that. I'll put that on the show tomorrow. So I want you to talk about that.
For the business practices of what we do.
Incredible.
And I was shocked that... I mean, I saw an article just yesterday because I got mine from our providers sent to us that... Costco is now going to be selling at home kits if you don't want to go to your doctor, which is which is wild.
I saw that.
Which is wild.
And you can get the results yourself?
You get the results within, they say, anywhere for 24 to 72 hours. The same, you do it at home, you swab it, you send it back. And I get mine in roughly a little less than 48 hours every week.
What happens, you go to Costco, Mike, and you do the nasal swab. It's not as deep as the other one, and you turn it in, and they say, yummy, yummy, yummy. You're not negative. You're negative.
Here's a chicken sample.
Here's a vitamin.
All right, so you went down to your dad's. Was it a good week?
Were you concerned about getting your dad sick at all?
No, because we've been taking, I take my temperature twice a day.
Okay.
He takes his temperature twice a day. And so, and we're all, I've been pretty quarantined and he was amazingly quarantined.
I'm talking about your kids who are out and about.
Yeah, but they took, temperature taken as well. Okay. So they're fine. And Julia's, she's been tested as well. So anyway, the one crisis, Mike, and I want, is everyone seated? When we went through Chincoteague, Ponytail's Taffy Company has closed for good.
Oh no.
And that was one of the things that I was going to stop by there because they make the best licorice flavored taffy. So I had to go on a great taffy hunt. But Mike, there is a taffy shortage on the Eastern Shore. So I
see. Oh my God! Wait, let me get you the right. I've got. Hold on. Did you say a taffy shortage? Did you say taffy shortage?
It's boarded up. Ponytails is boarded up. And I said, what are we going to do? And Kathy says, look, I was with my stepmom, Kathy. She says, look, Captain Steve's Lovely bait and lady. Tackle has a sign in the window that says taffy. I said, good. Let's go to Captain Steve's Bait and Tackle, not owned by Steve Bridges, as it turns out. So we go in and there's this big crate at the checkout stand that says taffy. And the taffy box is empty. There's no taffy at Captain Steve's. And I said, do you have any taffy? He says, I'll check. And he goes into the back and comes out and he says, ain't got none. And I said, do you think this is because Ponytails has closed? He says, people been buying a lot of taffy. So none at Captain Steve's. So I'm thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? So as we're leaving Chincoteague and we get up to Route 13, there's a store that has video rentals and a tanning bed and fireworks. And it's called T's Corner, and we stopped in T's Corner, and they had some taffy. So I bought a couple pounds of taffy at T's Corner, and then... A
couple of pounds?
Well, yeah, because a pound for my niece and nephew at the house for when they come down, and also, you know, Carrie requested taffy, and the boxes are a pound, so he bought a couple. Because also, now it's starting to sink
in. Was it good taffy?
Fantastic. It was actually Ponytail's brand taffy that was manufactured before the shutdown.
Oh, but, stale?
No, fresh as a daisy. Taffy has a great shelf life. And so, and also I'm panicking. Hold on, but the capper of the story is we're driving back to the house and Kathy says, you know who might have taffy? I said, who? She said, Stuckey's. And I said, maybe you're right. She said, the Stuckey's is up here right past Metomkin Seafood. So we pull into Stuckey's and not only did they have taffy, bought another pound. I got, Mike, a nut log, a praline.
That's
and
good.
Robert bought a cowboy hat. So
that's exciting.
That's successful.
Life in the fast line with the space. T-Rex, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you were able to work that out, Rob. I really, really.
But if you see
your troubles
taffy,
to a monkey on a rock, that's
Mike,
incredible.
All I'm saying is to the people on the whole East Coast, if you see taffy, buy taffy because there's no telling.
Way to create the demand now. Way to create a panic run. Rob Spiewak's responsible. There are going to be any taffy from the Jersey Shore all the way to Myrtle Beach because of Rob Spiewak, ladies and gentlemen.
But tons of toilet paper everywhere we look. But taffy, buy it now. Stockpile.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, do you like alliteration? You're going to love. You're going to love the news you may not need today. How about that for a tease?
Good
we'll
tease.
Be right back. Their horns were black and shiny, and their
hot breath he could feel. Hello, Outlaws. This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton, and I love you. There are a few things in life that I require. Peace, joy, and, of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify. No matter where I am in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and he wants some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. I love it when we have a sponsor on the show that keeps getting better and better. I'm showing you right now on my wrist my brand new Movement watch. Isn't that a beautiful special piece, ladies and gentlemen? It's fantastic. If you want to look your best, you need a stylish watch. Movement was founded on the belief that style should not break the bank. Here's a true story. The company was started by two broke college kids that could not afford stylish watches. Mm-hmm. So they started their own watch company, Movement. They got tons of watches on this site. It's fantastic. Classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. That's what I love about this face. Mm-hmm. That's what styled minimalism looks
beautiful.
Like, ladies
classic.
And gentlemen. Almost 2 million watches sold in over 160 countries. I got the Ion Silver watch, and Carly got the Ritual sunglasses. They have shades, too.
Oh, nice.
I absolutely love them. Let me get a little closer so you can get a better look.
Oh, nice.
Watch.
You know what? That watch would be perfect now, 20 years ago, 50
spots.
Years ago. It's gorgeous.
Age spots.
Mike,
oh, I'm
you need
sorry.
To go higher.
Anyway,
you need to go higher
sorry
with this
about
shot.
That. Watches start at $95. You'd be looking at $400 at a department store, all right? Trust Movement. Get 15% off today with free shipping, free returns by going to movement.com/TMOS. Movement's launching new styles on their site all the time. Check out their latest at MVMT.com. Go to movement.com/TMOS. Join the movement. You're going to love it.
News.
Boo. All right, we mentioned it before. The L.A. Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 last night to win the World Series, 4-2. I shouldn't be depressed. I'm happy. It's been a long time since L.A.'s won a World Series.
A great franchise,
it's a good
too.
Baseball town. It's a wonderful baseball town. It was close. The Rays seemed to shoot themselves in the foot. Blake Snell was pitching a scoreless gem. But, man, Kevin Cash, he's got Red Sox heritage, too. Kevin Cash pulled him out of the game. Snell didn't like it. And he gave up one hit. These managers freak out in the big games. They pulled out Snell. You don't know whether he would have done well or not, but A lot of people are saying they shouldn't have done that. At that point, the Rays were up 1-0. Snell was not happy about being removed. His replacement, relief pitcher Nick Anderson, immediately gave up 2 runs, and the Rays were never able to come back. After the game, Cash said, quote, "I guess I regret it because it didn't work out." Yeah, might be true. "Personally, I thought Blake had done his job and then some." That's, you know, that's
manager speak. It's a manager shame the manager isn't German and he could go, "Snell! Snell!" Yeah.
By the way, Snell, I should really do these quotes like they really do in the locker room after a World Series loss. Cash said, "I guess I regret it because it didn't work out. Personally, I thought Blake had done a good job and then some." Then Snell said, quote, "At the end of the day, I see both sides, just me, the way I felt in that game when I was able to play. Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager was named MVP. By the way, the Dodgers third baseman, Justin Turner, this is the big story of the
night.
This is
wild.
Besides the win, he was removed in the 8th inning after testing positive for COVID, which seemed appropriate given this crazy season. Apparently, a lab was reviewing test results during the game, and as soon as the positive test was noticed, they alerted MLB, which had the Dodgers pull him. It's amazing. Turner,
I heard he got the virus during the 7th inning stretch. The testing has gotten so fast.
Turner didn't immediately take the field with his teammates as they celebrated, but he joined them about an hour later, taking photos with the trophy and his mask and laughing. Everyone on the team was supposedly tested when they returned to the hotel. No word if anyone else was infected, but Turner says he's feeling fine. Well, he's won the World Series. He's going to get a ring.
Big
That's
win.
Exciting.
Yes. Cool.
It's worth mentioning that L.A. has now won 2 championships in the era of the coronavirus. The L.A. Lakers won the NBA title earlier this month. Good to be a Los Angeles sports fan.
Question for you, Mike. You're the biggest baseball fan here, all told. Do you think this will be sort of an asterisk victory because of the COVID compressed season?
I think it's not going to be made. They won't make a big deal of it. We're all dealing with COVID. Yeah.
Right.
It's
true.
It's a strange time. So that's the reason
why. Doesn't it feel like the Nationals won the World Series 10 years ago?
Yes.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
And it was last
like the Red Sox,
year.
And the Red Sox maybe 300 years
ago. And I can't even tell you how long ago
Earn
it seems.
Me back.
The Redskins. I'm sorry. The Red Washington football team. Their last Super Bowl victory seems an age ago.
Thank you. Kim Kardashian tweeted about how COVID-19 has impacted her birthday celebration.
It's true.
Oh, God. God, that family. She said, quote, "I'm 40 and feeling so humbled and blessed. There's not a single day that I take for granted, especially during these times. Before COVID, I don't think any of us truly appreciated what a simple luxury it was to be able to travel and be together with family and friends in a safe environment. After 2 weeks of multiple health screens and quarantining, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal, if normal is going to a private island,
exactly.
For just a brief moment in time. We danced, rode bikes, swam near whales, kayaked, watched a movie on the beach, and so much more. I realize that for most people, this is something that is so far out of reach right now. So in moments like these, I am humbly reminded of how privileged my life is. This is 40. Thanks for sharing." All right, so she's been accused of the whole tone-deaf thing. But at least Kim isn't oblivious to how ridiculous that sounds for most Americans. Still, there was plenty of backlash online, and I thought I might share a little with you.
Please.
Oh, that's nice.
That, okay?
Please.
For Kim Kardashian, I love the first one. One person said, "This year has humbled most of us, too, especially the 8 million of us that slipped into poverty. Glad your birthday was fun, though." That's my favorite one. Another person said, "I can't even hug my mom, but I'm glad you go to your private island and do whatever you want." And quote, "I'm really happy for you. My dad died and we couldn't have a funeral." There are a ton of tweets like that. So that's it. Here's one. Quote, "Maybe a nice thing to do tonight would be to go through, Kim, the GoFundMe pages where so many desperate Americans are asking for a few $100 for rent or car repairs and maybe send them enough to help them out." So anyway, a lot of people balked on old Kim Kardashian.
Well, you didn't read my tweet. I said, "Nice birthday. Did you get any taffy?"
Play-Doh has just announced a brand new product line, Play-Doh for grown-ups. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, no, this is really great. Let me tell you what they're doing. Moving right along.
Send the link to Jimmy Cerrito.
Here's a sign you've won the Halloween. Trying to go fast here. Here's a sign.
You've won the Halloween decorations game.
Peas
there's
grow
an
there.
Artist. What?
Peas grow there.
Shut up. There's an artist in. Sometimes I just say shut up. There's an artist in Dallas named Stephen Novak who put up such realistic looking Halloween decorations that people keep calling the cops. We're talking bloody bodies, blood splatter, and more, and it all looks almost too real. Steven says people have called the cops several times already, and he's been home for two of those police visits. Fortunately for him, the cops have been okay with his decorations so far. If you want to see his decorations, Steven lives in Stupid Town. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll see you there.
I appreciate that. We'll see you there. And now a little something. We've heard of people trying all sorts of things to get charges against them dropped.
Yeah.
But this is a new one. You almost have to give this lady credit. There's a 33-year-old woman. Her name is Lisa Landon from Littleton, New Hampshire. And last year, she was facing charges for drug possession and stalking. And her plan to get out of trouble was she impersonated a county prosecutor and filed counterfeit documents with the court to have the charges dropped.
Wow.
And it actually worked temporarily. No one noticed her paperwork until she was scheduled to have a psych evaluation, and the state forensic examiner realized the charges had mysteriously been dropped.
Where are they?
Real prosecutors investigated. They figured out what she was doing, and she was charged with 6 counts of falsifying evidence. So in a nutshell, here's the story.
All right.
And she was indicted, by the way, by a grand jury. Here we go.
Sure.
So Lisa Landon from Littleton landed in the lockup for lying liberally to lawyers who literally let her go, leaving themselves laughing with embarrassing moments and licking their loyally wounded pride as Lisa Landon of Littleton looked at... Let me start again.
Yep.
Lisa Landon from Littleton landed in the lockup for lying liberally to lawyers who literally let her go, leaving themselves laughing with embarrassment and licking their loyally wounded pride as Lisa Landon of Littleton looked at the legal loopholes and laid out a plan to leave them all in the lurch. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. About 6:30 in the morning we
Love
did
it.
That.
Nice.
Love it.
We'll take a break. Come back with the audio on Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. You listen to Charlie Daniels and the Devil Went Down to Georgia on Bay Country 103 FM.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind.
There's a lot at stake this fall. The question to ask yourself, are you better off now with your football picks than you were 4 years ago?
Listen up, Bermuda boy.
There's only one clear choice, and it's on the Nikki Diamond platform.
I got your stimulus package right here, baby.
Listen this Thursday and every Thursday to the Mike O'Meara Show for Nikki's plan to help you achieve financial prosperity.
These picks are gold.
This year, the choice is simple. Football winnings in your pocket.
Nikki Diamond's about to take you to the promised land.
Listen and win. Paid for by the People for Diamond 2020.
God bless America.
The devil gets your soul.
Thank you, Nikki. All right, turn that down, please. Look what I'm holding up here. This is the Theragun Pro. Look at that box.
Beautiful.
Look at the size of that. Isn't that
gorgeous.
Beautiful? Look at the attachments on the back of that. Have you ever tried percussive therapy? Well, I am in love with it. I am enjoying my Theragun so much. I'm not sure if you've noticed lately, but these are stressful times.
Sure.
Muscle tension all over the place. Whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to get through the day, muscle pain and muscle tension are real things. Even sitting at your desk doing Zoom meetings, you will benefit from this. This is the Theragun Pro.
Very cool.
I can't tell you how much I love this. The all-new Generation 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor. That's great. Yeah, that's a little tip. That's a tough word for me to say.
Proprietary. Pizza.
Okay.
Pizza.
Human being speaking here.
Pizza.
It's Pizza. Brushless. It's got a brushless, but it's very quiet. You'll wonder if it's on. And the percussive therapy is phenomenal for me. I use it, believe it or not, on my hands. My hands.
His manitos.
Listen, this is such a great product. I'm so excited to have it. I'm so excited to use it. They come in a wide variety of Theraguns, and you can get one. Try it for 30 days. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an old LED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need. It starts at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/TMOS. You won't believe the way this thing feels. Theragun.com/TMOS. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This
This is Wednesday, October 28th. Less than a week to Election Day, Rob Spiewak.
I voted yesterday, dropped the ballot in. It felt really good. Rob Manfred is the Major League Baseball commissioner. And was he drunk? Did he have a stroke? What was going on when he presented the MVP trophy last night? His voice, his vocal pattern was off.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
Very nice.
I think what happened is that his IFB, his earpiece was off. And when that is the delay, you mentally try to compensate for it and it messes with the way you talk. Sometimes you see singers pull their IFBs out of their ears because it's messing with them. But it just sounded to me like, because just moments before he sounded fine. No reports on whether or not he'd had a stroke or not. So that's what was going on last night.
I think in this case, IFB means I'm full of bourbon.
I think it is. I love this so much. There's a prank that's trending on TikTok. I'm full of bourbon.
Or the Quaalude kicked
in. I'm full of bourbon.
I'm full of bourbon. Willie Mays MVP.
I am prepared to give you the Slammers trophy.
I mean.
So there's a prank that people are filming and putting on TikTok and Instagram. You challenge someone. They say, do you have the skill to say the words Coca-Cola without your lips touching? Well, the secret is that you can absolutely do it because it's not, you don't need to use your lips to say Coca-Cola.
I tried it because I'm a mook. I tried Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola.
Then you film people doing it.
I am a ventriloquist. I am, yes siree. Yeah, I learned that ventriloquism a long time ago. This is fantastic. What an incredible show we're doing. Hi, I'm Mike O'Meara.
It's really great.
Hi.
Are you full of bourbon?
Nice to see you. I'm full of bourbon. Oh, bourbon's hard.
Bourbon.
I'm full of bourbon. I
think the ventriloquist trick is to use a D for a B. So you'd say, I hold Durin.
Yeah. Yeah. You just gave it away. Now everybody knows.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rod
Tricks of the trade.
Selak. Selak.
Now everybody's mental.
Selak. Yeah.
That's why they kicked me out of the union.
Welcome to the House of Lax. Yeah. So
you film people realizing that it's a prank, and it's funny when they realize
it. Say Coca-Cola without letting your lips touch.
Coca-Cola.
Say it again.
Coca-Cola.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because you told me my lips couldn't hit.
Do it again without your lips touching. Don't let them touch.
Coca-Cola.
No, just say it normal.
Coca-Cola.
They didn't touch.
Giggle, giggle, giggle. Yeah,
people
right,
are so
whatever.
Stupid.
I hate the giggle. I'm going to make it funny to go, you know what I mean? Like when I see the guy that gets hit in the crotch, I'm okay with that. I'll laugh at that. But the one that's like, the dumb laugh.
Oh, I cut off the end of that tape.
How many kids do that dumb laugh?
After he said Coca-Cola, she hit him in the crotch. So I cut that part of the tape off.
Fine, balls.
So, Mike, let's look to the Netherlands, where they have a song called the Fleep Flap Song that is taking Western Europe by storm. And people are predicting that once it comes across the pond, this could be our next baby shark. This could be the next annoying earworm. Fleep flap, dooba dooba bop, a flooba dooba beep, oh flop. Fleep flap, dooba dooba bop, a flooba dooba bop, oh flop. Fleep, fleep flap, dooba dooba bop, flooba dooba beep, oh flop. Flip, flap, flooba dooba bop. Flieba, flieba, flap, oh, flip. Stille, stille, stille. Pille, pille, pille. Stille, stille, stille. Flip, flap, flooba dooba bop. Flieba, flieba, flap, oh, flip. Flip, flap, flooba dooba bop. And I just want to remind everyone that's listening right now, that's the only thing on your podcast player. That's the Fleep Flap song, so keep an eye out for it. But let's close with something more sound musically, because I like music. You love music. I like singing dogs, and I like the show Star Trek. So let's close with a dog that likes to sing along with the theme to Star Trek. Pitchy dog. That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Hey, don't forget Friday night. We got the CMOS cocktail party, 7 p.m. Eastern. We got all the wives coming in. all full of bourbon with their IFBs. IFBs and IUDs. Another fabulous Friday night cocktail party with the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We'll have snacks, we'll have booze, and we'll have cruelty abounding. It should be great. We'll see you then. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody, and don't forget to vote.
Right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire. Inside a train wreck.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It's done, Joan. Pick your things. They're loading your cart.
Well.